Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sup?
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here! Ooh! On point, baby. Current daddy-o, this is Wretched Radio. What's on your mind? You can use whatever language you like to send it to idea@wretched.org, or you can send it to 877-282-2337. Jimmy, have you noticed the lingo these days that young people tend to use? It's like a different vocab.
For sure.
Especially when it comes to emotional issues. They use language that it's like, what you talking about, Willis? Because it's phraseology that you and I really aren't accustomed to using. But I would suggest to you, we'd probably be wise to understand this therapeutic lingo that is so often used for people to describe their emotional maladies. Because if we can't speak their language, I'm not sure that we will be as effective in communicating biblical remedies to them. They use, I don't have the emotional bandwidth for that. What are you saying? I don't have the space for that. What are you talking about? It's lingo that has therapeutic meaning behind it in a generation that is struggling more than any generation any of us are aware of. And they are using terminology that they've adopted through the mental health industrial complex to communicate this is how they're coping or not coping. And whilst I'm not a fan of that language because I hear it and it's like, why don't you just use the old words to describe exactly what you're talking about? Everything is shrouded in a bit of therapeutic mystery. We should learn that lingo. I want to communicate to somebody, let's say who's a Gen Z, hey, that you're feeling, this is what the Bible says about it. And if we don't learn the lingo, not sure that we're going to be as effective as we could. This is one of those instances of being all things to all people. This is not an abuse of Romans 9. An abuse of Romans 9 is, well, I'm going to dress like them, smell like them, act like them, and talk like them. No, I'm going to learn how they communicate and the meanings of their words, because isn't it better to say the Bible deals with how they understand the issue rather than using language that perhaps they don't understand that I do? Jimmy, you've got kids in the Gen Z generation.
I do.
Do you ever hear? And they all tend to use it because it's simply the air that they breathe. Do you ever hear your kids use that sort of therapeutic lingo?
I do from time to time. I mean, it's not...
Well, they grew up in a Christian home, so it's probably not the same. But I'm telling you, I don't think there's a Christian home that is immune from the assaults of secularism. It gets into the kids. So you hear it on occasion, but it's not... Yeah. Obnoxious.
No, not that much. No. One thing that I do hear quite a bit, not from my kids, but I just hear it from kids that age, is needing to work on my mental health.
There's another one.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to work on my mental health. Tell me what you mean by that. And so rather than saying that a godly person goes about the business of having their emotions under control by the power of the Spirit and the working of the Word in the mind of the individual, how's about the Bible can help you work on your mental health? They get that's my point. We need to know their lingo so we can speak it to communicate well. And by the way, speaking of mental health, woo-wee doggy, Dr. Greg Tolstoy Gifford just sent me a completed copy of his, It has become a real tome. It is a dissecting of the mental health complex that is a real missile. And it's going to be published next spring. I'm telling you, it's going to bring a lot of good clarity to a lot of Christians who are dealing with so many of these diagnoses on their kids. Is it mental health, really? Are you sure? Is there such a thing? And what does the Bible have to say about it? When he was in studio here a few weeks ago, can't wait to share that resource with you, he described and he defined the distinction between the mind and the brain. So helpful. And the book, it is so saturated with scripture. It could be the most important biblical counseling book ever published. That will be next spring. In the meantime, why don't you send stuff and use whatever lingo you prefer? See, there we are. So use your preferred lingo. Look it. We can be accepting here at Wretched Radio, 877-282-2337.
How inclusive of you, Todd.
Oh, wow.
This is from Caden. Todd, it feels like every night I keep getting saved. And when I wake up in the morning, I feel lost. It feels like I'm in a cycle and I want to just rest in Christ and truly desire Him, but my heart seems so dull.
That's the end. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we start by identifying a number of words and related words in that really short email. I feel like my heart says that's feelings-driven salvation is so precarious. Should you have feelings about the Lord? Yes. Yes, you should. But don't use your feelings as the test as to whether or not you're soundly saved. If you do that, you're going to be exactly what was described in that email or text, whatever it was. You're going to go to bed, you're saved. Wake up, you're not saved. Get off of that roller coaster. Whenever you feel like you have lost your salvation or that you're not saved, you need to replace that feeling with fact. You need to rehearse truth. You need to memorize Bible verses and remind yourself of reality. The Lord says He will not cast out anyone who comes to Him. You are secure in the hand of Jesus Christ Himself. What can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? Nobody. Memorize Bible verses. And when you feel like you're not saved, you need to inform your feelings with truth. And I recognize this malady is probably this is in my estimation, okay, it's not quite to the level, and please don't think I'm comparing the two, but pornography in the church is probably the massive issue. This is right up there, top five. That people are regularly struggling with their assurance. Take your gaze off of self. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Stare at Him with unveiled face. Stop analyzing yourself perpetually. All you will do is find evidence to conclude you are still guilty. And Jesus said, if you have surrendered, if you've repented and put your trust in Him, you're not guilty anymore. Go look up that song. That is such a good, Aaron Keyes, no idea what he's up to, but he wrote a song, You're Not Guilty Anymore. And the video that somebody put together was so helpful. It was a fellow, he's on a train, a commuter train, Chicago, New York, the coast, wherever. And he's got a suitcase, a big suitcase with him. And he gets off of the train and he carries the suitcase with him. And he finds himself a garbage can, and he puts the suitcase into a garbage can, gets to his office, and what's waiting for him? The suitcase. So he takes the suitcase out, and he goes to a field someplace, and he buries it. Because then the suitcase appears. He can't get rid of the suitcase. And in the meantime, the singer is singing, you're not guilty anymore. You're forgiven. You're mine. And your sins, your past, your shame, your guilt, gone. Stop digging it up. As far as the east is from the west, He's removed it all from you, and you are safely hidden in Christ. You couldn't get yourself in, and you can't get yourself out. And perhaps another word, if assurance is the issue with which you struggle. I received an email the other day, a young man who his language, it was just loaded with emotive lingo, but in a good way. I really want to be say, I really desire to be like him. Okay, that's a lot of emotions in there, a lot of feelings in there. And I wondered if, and I asked him the question, are you confusing perhaps your emotions? You think it's a desire, but it's not the actual. Are you sure that your desire to be saved isn't actually your thankfulness and gratitude that you are saved? Be careful about feelings. Be careful about emotions. They are so deceptive. They are so tricky. You need to replace feelings with facts, and there's only one way to do that. It's to memorize the Bible, and when you feel like you aren't saved, even though you've surrendered to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, the Bible will assure you, you are. This is Wretched Radio.
Are you feeling lost in a world that tells you you're toxic for just being a man? Well, it's time to cut through all of the noise. Introducing the Gentleman Event, where real masculinity beats biblical wisdom. Dr. John Grotz will arm you with 10 powerful mini lectures on August 16th and 17th, where you'll learn how to earn genuine respect and admiration, the keys to stepping up and leading well, and God's blueprint for authentic manhood. Because contrary to popular belief, your Y chromosome is not a curse. It's Friday evening, August the 16th, or Saturday morning, August 17th. Choose one or both sessions. Look, don't let society define you. Define yourself through the truth of God's Word. Sign up right now at wretched.org/gentleman. That's wretched.org/gentleman. It's the Gentleman Event, because real men aren't toxic, they're transformative. And dads, bring your sons, because it's time to man up the right way.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
All right, all Christian homeschool parents, Sunday school teachers, and group leaders, listen up right now. The Wretched Store at wretched.org has a vast array, that means a lot, of curriculum and study guides that are available to help save your day and your lesson plans. You can dive into Road Trip to Truth, where tough questions get answers, or explore Drive-By Theology, which is a crash course in key theological concepts that you didn't even know you needed to know. But once you hear them and learn them, you'll start to wonder why you didn't know them sooner. Each guide is packed with everything you need to learn yourself and also teach others along the way. Just visit wretched.org to explore all of the curriculum and study guides we have available. Give your group the gift of engaging and doctrinally sound education. Just shop the Wretched Store today at wretched.org, because look, winging it only works in bird watching.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nazianzus was the bishop of Constantinople in the 4th century. He wrote important works on the Trinity and the person of Christ. Gregory described the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and taught that Jesus is fully God and fully man. His arguments are still in use today. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is for you, dear brother or sister, who regularly lacks assurance. This is Wretched Radio, and this is a song by Aaron Keyes that you should sing regularly if you are constantly feeling like you are falling out of grace. You can't. In Christ, hidden in Him, you're not guilty anymore.
It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter where you've been. Hear me tell you, I forgive. You're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. You're not broken anymore. You're not captive anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. Can you believe that this is true? Grace is bond that I am giving you, cleansing deeper than you know. All was paid for long ago. You're not guilty anymore. You're not filthy anymore. I love you, mercy. You're not broken anymore. You're not captive anymore. I love you, mercy is yours.
Can you believe it? That is the key question. Jesus regularly asked his hearers, do you have ears to hear? Do you have eyes to see? Do you understand? I think Jesus was pressing them to not just grasp it intellectually, cognitively, but also emotionally. Yep, I use that word. That you learn truth, that you hear truth, you grasp the truth, but then you let yourself actually enjoy the truth. I wonder if that is why you regularly get stuck. You know the gospel. You hear the proclamations that in Christ, nobody can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And you go, yep, got it, memorize that. But do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you let it get into you? Do you allow yourselves to actually, I'm going to say it, feel it? You see, there's nothing wrong with feelings. God wants us to have feelings. You can't keep yourself from having feelings. Okay, unless, of course, you join Scientology, and then after a couple of decades, you probably won't feel much. But the point is, we're made to feel things, and you're made to have joy, and you're made to feel assurance. And maybe, just maybe, why you lack it is because you're just not letting yourself think it through beyond, yeah, okay, I got it. I got it. You're telling me that I can't lose my salvation. Got it. Now, hold on a second. Will you let yourself believe that and trust that and feel good about it? Feel stirred about it? Feel convicted about it? Feel something about it? I know that there's an overemphasis on emotions these days. We talked about that earlier this week. I'll be talking about it to a degree Sunday morning at alpharettabiblechurch.org. It's a big deal because too many people are merely into an emotive Christianity, and it's lacking fact. That could be your malady if you lack assurance. On the other hand, you could be lacking assurance because you do have an intellectual understanding of all things theological, but it doesn't move you, doesn't stir you. Let yourself believe it and enjoy it. And then send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Although, Jimmy, I did find some therapeutic language for you that we were talking about.
You did too.
What do you mean you did too?
Oh, I
Googled.
I AI'd.
You win. All right, let me. I found this. This is from the New Yorker. This actually goes back a few years ago. My observation that this generation uses language to describe their feelings you and I don't get. And that means if we don't use that language, it's like go to a foreign language and don't learn it. And then just go ahead and communicate the gospel. And you say, well, I am evangelizing people in English, but they speak German. You got to learn German. You say, but the kids, they're speaking English. Yeah, but it's a different language. I'm telling you, it's a different language. And we got to learn to speak it if we're going to help them to understand the Bible actually speaks to what you perceive to be such contemporary issues. This is from the New Yorker. Again, it was 2021 when this was written. If we're especially online or roaming the worlds of friendship, wellness, activism, or romance, we must consider when we are centering ourselves or setting boundaries. There it is. I just have to center myself. Do you know what that means? I don't either. I have to set boundaries. What does that mean? Sitting with our discomfort. I've got to be present. We just want to name a dynamic. We joke about our coping mechanisms, codependent relationships, and avoiding attachment styles. We practice self-care. Toxic acquaintances must be shunned. We project and decathect. I don't know what that is. We're triggered. We dislike these words, but we use them. We use the language of the therapeutic. Those are just a few examples of the language that the kids are speaking. So I think you're going to trump me with the AI card. What?
Well, I mean, they're pretty similar. Stay present in the moment.
Well, okay, Jimmy, seriously. I know you're going to try to think it through, but do you know what that means?
I do
like
not.
Intuitively, like you understand it.
No.
All right, if I say the word red balloon.
I know what that means.
Okay, because you listen to Nina in the 80s and you know, even in German, 99, Luftballon. Okay, so what other language do we have there?
Respect your own limits. Reframe your perspective. And here's one. Let go of what no longer serves you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably new to you. If you're Gen Z, that's like, now you're talking my language, old timer. But we need to understand these words if we are going to help a generation that's struggling. Idea@wretched.org or text stuff to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Corey. Todd, I want to buy some clothes online. However, I have to make a $1 donation to a company supporting indigenous LGBTQ people. I'm wondering if it would be sinful for me to participate since I am directly supporting the act with my money.
Where's the money going?
Indigenous LGBTQ people.
Indigenous LGBTQ people.
Correct.
Ah, did I mention I went to Governor Tim Walz's church website? It's Pilgrim Lutheran Church in St. Paul. Truly lovely building and just a gorgeous church. Totally off the reservation. Sorry, didn't mean to make that illusion. And one of their things was about confessing that this land belongs to the indigenous people, and we're really sorry. And I say, oh, no. You need to give that glorious building away then. If you believe that you, with this building, right now, today, are sinning because of what you understand history to be like with the claiming of this nation from Europeans, then don't just say you're sorry. They've got reparations listed. That's a big move in St. Paul these days. The church wants to talk about, no, not reparations. Give your building away. Give your positions away. Give your titles. Give everything away if you really believe in what you're posting on your church website. So would you give a dollar, Jimmy? Would you buy something from a place that said to you, this is what we're going to do with a buck of your money?
You know, probably. I mean, I know it's outright telling you that, but I mean, if you go to Target, they're doing the same thing.
Sure, they're doing it maybe without telling you, but if you go to their website, you can discover. They're giving money to all kinds of folks.
Right.
I think this is going to be a conscience issue. I think we need to understand you can't do commerce with somebody who is not going to use your money in a way that you probably do not think is biblical or godly. That's just the world we live in. Now, if it bothers you because they told you up front, you're not aware of what Quick Trip does with the money when you're filling up your gas tank and you can just carry on without any conscience pangs, I say carry on. But if you realize, whoa, this organization is doing that and I just can't get past it, then don't get past it. You never want to override that mechanism called the conscience, because if you do, you're going to sear it and it is not going to be going, it's not going to be setting off the alarms that you need to keep you from sinning. So never dull your conscience. But I would say, do I think a Christian can do that? Yes. Would I do it? I don't think I could. So, hey, if you're a pagan industry, please do us a favor and don't tell us. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, across the pond, they apparently believe George Orwell's 1984 is a how-to manual. A 55-year-old woman has been arrested for posting inaccurate information on social media. Yeah, nothing says free society quite like the thought police hauling you off for a Facebook post. I wonder if sharing recipes will next be considered a culinary hate crime. And in the world of sports, common sense, well, it pulled a hamstring a while back. The president of the International Olympic Committee has declared that there's, quote, no scientifically solid system to determine if someone is male or female. Basic biology, that's outdated as the VCR. Next up, the IOC announces that gravity is just a social construct and that identifying as a gold medalist is as good as winning one. Meanwhile, in Silicon Valley, where algorithms apparently know more about elections than voters, a coalition of conservative groups is warning big tech not to interfere in the 2024 election. It's kind of like people are finally figuring out tech companies aren't the best arbiters of truth. Who would have thought? In retail news, a group of Christian investors has been urging major chains like Walmart and Costco to resist selling the abortion drug Mifepristone. They're basically telling these stores, stick to selling bulk toilet paper and rotisserie chickens. Leave these culture wars to Twitter. Finally, somebody has some common sense. Hopefully it's contagious and Walmart and Costco will actually catch the common sense, but that's not likely. Lastly, in Detroit, the Department of Justice is pursuing a case against 7 pro-life activists who had the audacity to peacefully protest in an abortion facility. Their star witness, a former activist who flipped faster than a pancake at IHOP. The judge in the case, channeling his inner Solomon, mused whether the group intended to save babies or break the law. Because apparently, in 2024 America, those two things are mutually exclusive. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Zechariah was a prophet who preached God's judgment, repentance, and the promise of salvation to the Jews returning from exile. He relays a series of apocalyptic visions, focusing on the coming of Christ, the final salvation of God's people, and the final judgment upon sinners. Remember that Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of prophecy. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Soon, purple people. Soon. This is Wretched Radio, hoping you'll send stuff to idea@wretched.org. And if that includes a question about your purple order, thrilled to receive it. In fact, it kind of makes my heart go pitter-patter when I hear from people who are wondering, hey, when are we going to get those free gospel booklets that you promised? They're on their way. What Time is Purple? Great evangelistic booklet. 1 million copies were ordered. They are being shipped as we speak. They're probably on the ocean, which maybe is a bit of an issue. How is the storm thing going on in Savannah and Charlotte? I know that it was going to be a ton of rain. Did it get worse than that?
I'm not quite sure if it got worse than that, but it was a lot of rain.
Just so much rain came pouring down. That could stall things a little bit. But otherwise, if you're waiting for your pallet or half pallet or even case of purple in the U.S. of A., on the way. Thank you for your patience. I'm dealing with the customs stuff internationally, sending pallets all over the globe. Let me tell you something. That became a thing. Woo-wee doggy. But they're being shipped everywhere. So expect your purple soon. And in the meantime, please send whatever to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget the texter machine, 877-282-2337.
And this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, if your elders in the church give counsel that's not necessarily over a black and white sin issue in the Bible, but is what they believe is the most wise in this, in a certain issue, and you don't take their counsel, and then they tell you you're in sin because of that, and that you're wise in your own eyes, after you talked it through and thought it through, now they want to force you to take the counsel, which makes it no longer counsel, but a command in my eyes. Is that a good reason to leave the church?
Without knowing the details, I'm a little reticent to say what is about to come flying out of my mouth because I don't know the details. So let me just pull this away from this specific situation. What we're talking about, the basic premise here is, you've got people in church who have a difference of opinion on something. You're convinced this is the way it should be. By the way, does he mention what the issue is?
He does not.
Okay, so that makes it a little tricky. So again, let's just make this generic. You think this, the elders think that. You've got loggerheads. Who flips the coin? How does it work out? Now, if you think this through for a second, it's really problematic because you've got two believers who are disagreeing on something. Well, God has already flipped the coin for us, and it sides with the elders. If your elders are godly, if they're trustworthy, they're aiming toward being a biblical church, equipping the sheep with the work that is such an integral part of the church, and you got yourself good elders, the general principle would be submit. Now, you hear that and you go, but they're not right. That is very possible. That can, of course, always happen. But God has put a mechanism in place so that we don't divide and so that we don't constantly leave over every disagreement. I remember when we were in our last church for the last, 15, 16 years, honestly, as I stand here, I can't think of anything, but I'm sure there was stuff that it's like, I would have done differently. All right, who gives? And the answer is I do, because I wasn't an elder in that church. That's the way that God has flipped the coin and made the determination to keep us from constantly abandoning ship. Now, of course, we don't know what the issue is in this situation, so please consider that, but the hierarchy inside of the church is elders, and the sheep submit to the wisdom of the elders. If you think that they're sinning, that's a different issue. You are then going to need to marshal others without it becoming a gossip fest to bring your concern lovingly and respectfully, 1 Timothy 5, to your elders to say, we think that you got it off. And most of the time, not all of the time, but most of the time, you should be able to work through it if everybody is being respectful of one another. But the basic principle is the elders win the coin toss. Jimmy, would you say anything else?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I understand the reservation here, but
I get it because you think they're wrong.
At the same time, they're your elders that you've agreed to submit to.
There's another issue that I keep thinking about, and that is when we deal with issues of Christian liberty. It's so hard. I get it, because you think that you're right. That's the whole point. That's the whole reason that we've been given this category of gray issues where different Christians have a different opinion on something. One of them is right. One of them is wrong. One is right and one is wrong. And God lays down the rules for us. Don't go about the business of flaunting your liberty. Love the other. Be thoughtful of the other one. So if you think that you have liberty to say, eat meat, and somebody doesn't, oh, vegetarian, then don't do that. And the one who's a vegetarian, you put that into your body? Moo. We don't treat each other like that. And we feel so strongly about it. And that is why the issue of Christian liberty, it is indeed a tricky one. Jimmy, would you do me a favor? Probably shouldn't say this, but I'll give it a go anyway. Would you go to wretched.org/liberty and see what pops up? I'm not sure, but I think that we have given that resource away and that link might still be active. And if you visit it, you'll be able to see, I don't know what we did, 10, 15 lectures on the subject of Christian liberty, because it is a more difficult subject than I think what we consider, because we think we're right and you're wrong. And that other individual has the exact same intensity of belief you do. This helps us navigate those waters. Does the link work?
Well, the link works right directly to the store.
Ah.
Yeah.
Never mind. Don't do that. Sorry. You'll have to buy it. Wretched.org/liberty. And as long as you're at the internet, send stuff. idea@wretched.org.
All right, let's expand on the, you mentioned gossip a second ago. This is from Simi. She's texted in, Todd, I have a question about dealing with gossip in the church. How do I handle situations where people might misunderstand me? My parents are leaders in the church, and they've advised me not to talk too much about our family because of gossip. There seems to be a lot of hypocrisy in the church, and I'm not sure how to navigate all of this.
It's hard. It's hard. I understand where your parents are coming from, because that can happen. Should it happen? No. But does it happen? Yes. And so I would file that underneath the category of discretion. And that sometimes is a bit of the price that is paid if you're actively involved in the church, if you're in a leadership role, because you don't want things misconstrued. You don't want the gossip to be spread. So you just keep things a little closer to the vest. If that describes you, incidentally, that I get that, but you better find somebody. You need to have somebody, a confidant, where you can actually share things. And you can perhaps disclose some of the challenges that you're having in your family, because every family has those challenges. Jimmy has a ton of those challenges. I've had a couple over the years. So we need to find somebody that we can talk to about these issues, and then practice discretion. Then I would suggest this: the gossip that goes on in a church, I might encourage you, if it is something that is a hallmark of that particular assembly, it's not sinful to go speak to the pastor about it and say, Pastor, I've noticed in the hallways, I try to shut it down. I try to use some clever tactics like, hey, before you tell me that about Gladys, are you okay if I tell Gladys about what you said? That tends to just, I guess I don't need to tell you what Gladys has been doing, because it's gossip. There are tactics that you can use. But if you've noticed it's a thing in the church, don't make it your thing. The opposite. Oh, we're a gossip church. It's my job to shut down the gossip. Well, it's not your job to shut down the gossip. Your job is to shut down the gossip when you are confronted with it and to not participate in it, either with speaking it or hearing it. But if you think it's a thing for your church, to respectfully go to your elders and say, hey, y'all, do with this as you see fit in your wisdom. I can tell you in the last week, 5 different people shared gossip. They tried to share gossip with me, and I had to shut it down. I'm wondering if it's kind of a part of the fabric of our fellowship. So anyway, see you Sunday. And you let them choose to deal with it. It's absolutely fair to bring those concerns to your elders. idea@wretched.org.
You know, I was going to tell you a dad joke here. I was. I had one loaded up and
ready
to go.
This is my little early Christmas present.
Well, you know, I thought it was funny. It was a joke about air conditioners, but
it's not funny. We just had to have one replaced.
Oh, you did?
We did.
I knew you wouldn't
still dealing with it.
Yeah.
And the humidity it's a new air conditioner. Yikes, those things are expensive. And it's been pulling the humidity out of the air, and they don't have it draining the right way. So we basically have a river running next to our house right now. So, thanks for the dad joke, Jimmy.
Hey, I was going to tell you that joke.
You'd like to give me a paper cut and pour some lemon juice on it, too.
I knew that joke about air conditioners. You wouldn't be a fan. that was from Andrew. Thank you, Andrew.
This is Wretched Radio. So, you're not convinced of the importance of training men to rightly divide the word of truth and fill pulpits internationally? Fine. then we'll let Paul Washer convince you.
It is so important, not just important, it's absolutely essential to have a trained expositor of the scripture in every church. When we read through the book of Acts, we can see that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, advances as the word of God advances.
Would you please consider joining the Master's Academy International in filling empty pulpits with men who can exposit the scriptures and advance the kingdom of God? It's a magnificent ministry with a generational impact. Please learn more about supporting TMAI at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor for the Master's Academy International.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Have you ever felt like the world's gone a little loopy? Well, we agree, which is why we've assembled the ultimate dream team to tackle it head on. Later this year, 8 big brains and even bigger hearts will come together to bring light to the darkness. First up, we have Dr. Greg Gifford, the biblical counseling whisperer who makes Freud look like an amateur. And then there's Dr. Andrew Walker. He's an ethics extraordinaire who can tell you why lying in Monopoly is actually bad for your soul. Next, Dr. Jason Lyle, our very own rocket scientist. Seriously, he's got a PhD in astrophysics and reads the universe like a bedtime story. Pastor Tim Challies, the blog king and co-founder of Cruciform Press, will keep you grounded with practical, faith-filled guidance. It all gets underway later this year, and we'd love it if you could join us in making a difference. Just visit wretched.org/donate to learn more, and let's make our brave new world a little less crazy together. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there. And Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. Psalm 139 tells us that God is omnipresent. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. God is not only outside and above his creation, he is present in every place, seeing what is happening. This is a comfort for those who love him, but a terror to those who hate him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. Let this truth be buried in your heart.
There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Jesus.
None.
You're not guilty anymore.
Totally justified.
You're not guilty anymore.
Can you believe it?
You're not guilty anymore. Not guilty anymore.
This is Wretched Radio. Bury that truth in your heart. Don't just memorize it. Bury it in your heart. You're not guilty anymore. You say, well, what if I sin? You're not guilty anymore. Well, what if I really slip up? You're not guilty anymore. Believe it and let it give you assurance and produce joy. This is Wretched Radio. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org. Don't forget, you can text away 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Richard. Todd, years ago, with an immature conscience, I believed drinking any alcohol was sinful. To avoid sin, I made a vow to God never again to drink. And over the past 20 years, I've matured and now understand Christian liberty, recognizing that having a beer or wine is permissible aside from drunkenness. However, I feel bound by my vow and believe it must be kept because God is holy. I made the vow out of a legalistic desire to control my actions and avoid temptation, but now I wonder if I was misguided.
Why is your conscience troubling you? Sounds like it is. So don't violate that conscience. What do we do with perhaps a rash or foolish oath? We need to see how God views those types of vows. He takes them very seriously. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, talks about a vow that the Pharisees were so, you know, Pharisaical. They had it figured out. Okay, if I swear by God, I got to keep it. But if I just swear by earth, if I just swear by Jerusalem, it's not really binding. And Jesus crashes that. Your yea is yea and your nay is nay. I think there's some Psalms that talk about the foolish man who breaks a vow, that it is wise to keep our vows even when they're foolish. So I guess I wouldn't, if you came into my office and you told me that you're going to break your vow because you don't think that it was binding because you made it without knowledge, I don't think that I'd put you up on church discipline, but I would probably encourage you in the opposite direction to keep your vow. You say, but it was dumb. It wasn't necessary, but you made it. And God doesn't like us breaking vows, even dumb ones. Got a difference of opinion? Send it to idea@wretched.org. Jimmy, what say you about the vow breaking?
You know, I'm gonna agree with you because obviously I think there's a lot to be said about faithfulness being one of the fruit of the Spirit. And I think you've got, if you made it, I think you should keep it.
This is how I would see it, though. That you can this vow, you've now found liberty in consuming alcohol without getting drunk, and so perhaps now you desire that glass of wine. You're in Tuscany, and it's like, oh man, a glass of that Pinot Grigio would be so perfect with this. But Lord, I made a vow, and so I'm going to surrender my desires to you. Please receive my abstinence as an act of worship. Be pleased with my refusal to break my vow because I love you too much. And turn it into an act of worship. 877-282-2337.
This is from Josh, a 15-year-old pastor's kid. Todd, I've always grown up in the church and was recently saved and baptized. Our summer camp recently strengthened my faith like never before. I brought a friend from school who seemed ready to put their trust in Jesus. How can I encourage him to take that farther? And also, how can I ensure that this isn't just a spiritual high and maintain this fire in my regular life?
Kind of sort of got two issues in there. The first would be witnessing to somebody that you want to see saved. I think that you need to put Jesus before that person as often as you can without driving them nuts. How do you know you're pushing it too hard? You ask them, hey, friend, I keep bringing up Jesus because I really want you to have your sins forgiven and inherit eternal life, but am I bugging you? And then respect whatever they say. If they're like, no, then just keep putting Jesus in front of them, because what you don't want to do is become obnoxious. And there is a danger in that, where you use virtually anything to bring up the subject of Jesus. You're watching the Olympics with your buddy, and the Olympic rings come on, and you say, you see those rings? That's too many, because in the Trinity, there's really three rings that, okay, you don't need to be, I don't know how that Trinitarian illustration was going to work out anyway. You don't need to be perpetually finding a way to bring up spiritual things, but that doesn't get you off the hook. Do it as much as you can without driving somebody bonkers. And the only way to know is to ask. But there is a second issue baked at the very end of that comment from that young man who's 15 years old and is writing into a Christian talk show. Dude, and it's a PK, no less? How cool is that? He went to a camp I think it said camp, right, Jimmy?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, went to a camp. And he's wondering now that my evangelistic fervor, is it just from like some spiritual buzz? And the answer might be, yeah, and what's the problem? So you went to a camp and you had a great experience. But great. Don't feel bad about it. Could it be that you're perhaps being more diligent because of it? Praise God for it then. But if you're wondering about those types of experiences, those mountaintop experiences, I think the theologian who can help us best understand how do we go about the business of dealing with those times when we go to a conference or a concert or just a worship service on Sunday morning, it's like, wow! I'm on the mountain, baby. What do we do with those? The theologian who can help is Stephen Curtis Chapman. Jimmy, would you Google a song about a mountain, going up on a mountain?
Okay.
And then going to the valley down below. You see, the other day I was looking for some old Christian music, which means Stephen Curtis Chapman. Because these days, that's like ancient, because that goes back to the 90s. And I was listening to a number of those old songs. And by the way, there was an old song that played. It was one of these groups that is deconstructed. They were hot in the late 90s, early 2000s, and now they're denying the faith. And this song, they had to remix it because it was an extended ending, just a music bed where the guy who apparently was the singer of this Christian song that he's receiving royalties for, basically said, what I just sang, don't believe that. You can believe in any God that you want to. That's the beauty of it. So, hey, man, just chill. What? And then Stephen Curtis Chapman came on. And over the years, I found him to be a rather faithful songwriter. And he wrote a song years ago up on the mountain or something like that. And I was listening to the lyrics as best I could. And I thought, maybe he can help this young man. Jimmy, you got the lyrics?
I do.
All right, hit me.
I want to build a house upon this mountain, way up high where the peaceful waters flow. To quench my thirsty soul upon the mountain, I can see for miles upon this mountain. Trouble seems so small, they almost disappear. Lord, I love it up here on the
mountain. Okay, so this is, he's singing about, wow, Lord, I'm so right now. All right, keep going.
My faith is strengthened by all that I see. You make it easy for me to believe upon the mountain.
Okay. When you go to one of these conferences, church service, you listen to a sermon, whatever it is, and you get that's great. Enjoy that. But recognize that isn't normative for the Christian life. You can have those peaks and valleys, but basically the Christian life is really led more in the valleys as we our trajectory is moving up. So enjoy those mountaintop experiences. Let it bolster you. Let it strengthen you. Let it fill up your tank so that you can then run down in the valleys, which is, I think, how the rest of the song goes.
Right. So here's the chorus. You bring me up here on the mountain for me to rest and learn and grow. I see the truth upon the mountain and I carry it to the world far below.
There you go.
Yep.
Yep. So enjoy those experiences. But know this, that you shouldn't be constantly, I got to go to this thing so I can get whipped up. That is most likely going to be a false emotional experience anyway. If you go because I got to go get pumped up, just soak yourself in the word and preaching, teaching. Go to the conferences and let it really fill you up. And notice it's the means of growth that are being used to do that. You're thinking a lot about the Lord. You're singing a lot about the Lord. It is going to fill you up. But know that you're going to have to leave the conference. It's okay. Just keep feeding yourself and know this, that one day, eternity will be nothing but mountaintop experiences. In fact, you're going to go from one tall mountain to a taller mountain to a taller mountain because you are never going to plumb the depths of the delights that are in our treasure, Jesus Christ. Never. And heaven will be a whoa experience when you get there. And then a million years later, you're going to be like, whoa. 10 million years later, whoa. And it will never end. But until then, visit the mountain, but then live your life in the valley until one day it's all a mountaintop experience. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.